Turn together now to the book of Psalms and to chapter 103, and we can read at the beginning. Psalm 103 and at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, and so on. Now, as we read this very rich psalm, we will recognize that it touches everything to do with our lives. It speaks about the way in which we have sin that needs to be dealt with. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of sickness and of health. It speaks of theological things like God's choice of his people, and it reminds us of the way in which the mercy of God, or the steadfast love of God, is central to all of the ways in which he is working in the world. And indeed, the whole psalm is framed around the idea of God's mercy, or as I would prefer to translate it, the idea of God's steadfast love. I want tonight to begin to look at the idea of forgiveness. It's something that's at the very center of our relationship with God, and something that we need to understand. And the more we understand it, the more we will have assurance in our hearts that that forgiveness is ours. Because in so many ways we don't appreciate what the forgiveness of our sin means. We don't understand what it means in our relationship with God, and then we don't understand what forgiveness means in our relationships with each other. And the world in which we live is a clear reminder to us of that. We need to understand forgiveness in our relationship with God, and we need to understand forgiveness in our relationships with one another. And I want to begin tonight looking at forgiveness, and to do so in the context of the psalm, which in many ways deals with the main issues that connect with our forgiveness. And to give the sermon a title, it would be The Nature and Power of Forgiveness. Let's notice, first of all, that we see in the psalm a reversal. And the reversal takes place because of the action of God in our forgiveness. That's what we see in verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? And as we read these verses, let's remind ourselves that the psalmist here is not talking to someone else. He is talking to himself. And in some circles that may seem to be something crazy, but it's something that's at the very center of the Christian's experience, that he's talking to himself. And here the psalmist is speaking about your iniquities and your diseases, and he's not talking to other people. He's talking to his soul. He's talking inside of himself. It's something that he is deeply conscious of in his own heart. And what he is deeply conscious of is that God forgives all your iniquities. And in the forgiveness that we want to see here, we want to see the way in which forgiveness, first of all, takes away the deficit, takes away everything that stands against me in my relationship with God. That's the essential place at which forgiveness is to be found, the way in which my sin leaves me guilty before God, and the way in which my sin leaves me suffering the curse that God speaks of because of my sin. There God begins. He begins with forgiveness. And we want to see that that forgiveness is, first of all, a costly transaction. Because the very forgiveness that we see in the Word of God, it is that forgiveness that has at its very center the whole idea of the cost of life. And the forgiveness that is spoken of here is a word that only belongs to God's vocabulary. This word is never on the mouth of a human being. It's the vocabulary of God. And the God who uses this vocabulary in speaking about our forgiveness is one who does so at the cost of a life given over in death. And of course in the Old Testament that was seen clearly in the way in which they were engaged in the tabernacle and in the temple, and the way in which God, who was going to forgive sin, was going to do so only on the basis of a sacrifice. And of course, when we come to the gospel and we come to recognize the nature and the power of forgiveness, we come to see the costly transaction because of the way in which this is also a cross transaction. It takes me to the very heart of the gospel, to the very core of the life of Jesus, and to the very center of what God is doing in the person of Jesus. And so when I hear Isaiah telling me in Isaiah 53 that he shall make his soul an offering for sin, I've got my finger on the very cost of the forgiveness which God gives to me. And I follow the words of Isaiah, and I follow the experience of the Lord Jesus, and there I find him on this cross giving his life as a ransom for many. He is suffering in my place. My sins are laid upon him. And he pours his soul out into death. It's the cost of my forgiveness. And I come to think of the way in which God forgives my sin to take away the negative, to take away the deficit in my relationship with him. And he points me immediately to the finished work of his Son, that Christ Jesus died for sinners, that he suffered in my place, that all that he did for me, the cost was his. A costly transaction. And that's why everyone who knows forgiveness knows that however much or little they understand it, know that Jesus Christ is at the center of their lives. The sin is removed and Christ comes in its place. Because he's the sin bearer, he's the sin remover. He's the sin problem resolver. He takes it all away. And he's at the center of my experience as a child of God who knows forgiveness. A reversal in a costly transaction. And the reversal is also a transaction through which I'm healed and I'm restored. A transaction through which all of the impact of sin, that God works in such a way like a great physician, he comes to heal my diseases, and in the moment of my forgiveness, that healing process begins, he is there in a restoring transaction. At one and the same time, who healeth all thy diseases. He has given me good health. And my, how I need that. The diseases that speak in Deuteronomy 29, the diseases that speak in Galatians chapter 3, that speaks to me of the way in which God's curse is upon humankind because of its sin. And the way in which that curse is seen in diseases and in sicknesses on the people of God down through the Old Testament, from which God alone can recover them. He's going to heal and to restore. He's going to place his hands upon them and taking away the deficit caused by the guilt of their sin and then working away in their inner beings so that the psalmist can say to his soul, who heals all your diseases, he's looking in and he's able to see that. Not because there is no sin there, but because there is a sense of the sickness being reversed. There's a sense of restoration. And there's a sense of bringing back what has been lost. The reversal that brings about my healing and my restoring. And the reversal also that speaks in removing my deficit, that speaks to me of a family transaction. Forgiveness is especially powerful in a family situation. And that's where we find the child of God, that's where we find the psalmist, and that's where he comes to. that all of the forgiveness and all of the healing, that He is the God also who redeems my life from destruction, who redeems my life from the grave, who redeems my life from death. And when a reader in the time of David, or in the time of Isaiah, when they were going to read their Bibles, and they were going to read about redemption, they were immediately going to Leviticus chapter 25, and there's the story. Who is the Redeemer? He's somebody in the family. What does the Redeemer do? He pays the necessary price for a family member who is in need, and He pays the price to recover them, to restore them, to set them free from their debt, or whatever trouble that they have got into. The Redeemer is a member of the family who has a family duty and his family loyalty to recover the one who's lost. And when I come to reckon with the forgiveness that God brings to me, in all of the ways in which it cancels my debt, in all of the ways in which restores my soul, I come to the place where all of this is because I have a brother, and there's no brother like him. And he's come from heaven to the manger in Bethlehem, and he's come to go on a journey to the cross of Calvary. He's my brother in the family of God, and because of his family loyalty. He's loyal to the Father who sent him. He's absolutely committed to the family Father. But he's also loyal to me as a family member. And so tonight I can say to my soul, who redeems your life from destruction? The deficit removed. The cost. The restoration. And the family transaction. And tonight God wants you to speak to your inner being. And to allow the forgiveness that the Bible speaks of, to allow it to speak to your inner being. And to speak to you in such a way that you will recognize that the very sin which stands against you is a sin that's been wiped away. And no matter how much you are conscious of your sin in your everyday life, no matter how much you struggle with the power of sin in your life and its influence, God is saying to you, your sin is forgiven. And I have paid the price. And the cost is such that Jesus gave his life for you. And the real problem with your life now is one of recovery. Because in many ways, when we are recovering from any kind of illness, we have recovery pains. And we have the way in which, through that process of coming back to health, there are things happening to us that we cannot understand, but we learn to appreciate that they are the very essence of the recovery that is taking place. And God wants me and you tonight to say to your souls, remember that the forgiveness is at the cost of the Son, and that He has wiped away, He has wiped the slate clean. And not only so, but the reversal also has a positive element to it. We cannot forget, and the Word of God will not allow us to forget, that our forgiveness and our relationship with God is not something that brings us to the place where we don't owe God anything. God's work in our lives doesn't stop there. He comes with the crowning of His own grace. He comes with the crown jewels that Jesus has secured in His death and in His resurrection. And that's where we see the positive elements of this special forgiveness and of this relationship with God, where the psalmist goes on in the middle of verse 4, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed. who crowneth thee with loving kindness. How much do you think tonight you have a royal crown? How much do you feel like you're royal? Well, tonight it doesn't matter what you feel. If you have the forgiveness that God gives to His children, and if God has placed His hand on your life in that way of restoring it to Himself, here is what He has given you in order to make your life full and to make your life complete. He has crowned you. And crowning may mean simply to be surrounded by. But it can also mean the way in which a person is crowned with honour. And that's the way the psalmist sees himself. He's saying to himself that he's crowned with honour. And we might say, how dare he say that? But that's what faith does. That's what the voice of faith says to the soul of the believer, that you are crowned with loving kindness and tender mercy. And these are the very things which are at the heart of the way in which God works. The loving kindness, or the steadfast love of God. That what surrounds the psalmist is the very way in which the devotion of God's love, which has reached out to him in the forgiveness, is that devotion which surrounds his life now in such a way that the love of God and the commitment of God and the life of God is around him every step that he's now going to take. And that's the beginning and the fullness of the riches of the way in which God is going to fill the believer's life with himself, with his ongoing steadfast love and devotion. And that's a comfort in this crown with his tender mercies, the outflowing of the love of God that brings us right back to the heart of God, who is moved in his innermost beings and in his innermost emotion to love and to feed into and to fill the lives of his children. And these are the crown jewels that are used tonight if you know God's forgiveness. No matter what else surrounds you, God is totally committed to you. His love is with you every step that you take, and his heart is moved as surely as your heart is pulsating in your love for him. His heart is pulsating in his love for you, and it is his heart that pulses first through that power of his love that causes your response. Love God in its unfailing commitment to you, and all of the emotions of God around you. The crown jewels of the energy of God himself surrounding you as you journey on through life. Can you, with a psalmist, allow yourself to speak that into the turmoil of your heart and the turmoil of your life and the turmoil of your dissatisfaction and the turmoil of the way in which you wish you were so different? But why? Unless it's because you want to be more like Jesus, why do you wish you were different? Why do you not appreciate how different you are? And in that very difference, you will find your satisfaction. The positive way in which God, in all of his grace, has moved to give you that fullness and that satisfaction. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Satisfaction. And you say, I have no satisfaction. And we are saying, we have no satisfaction. And God is speaking into that kind of complaint and to that kind of attitude to the work of his grace in your life and the forgiveness which he has given to you. And he's saying to you that you are and you should be and you should feel and you should know that you are full. Satisfaction that speaks of being full to overflowing with the good things of God, and your youth is renewed. There's a sense of complete freedom as those who are set free by God and to soar in this powerful spiritual way to enjoy what God has given. And God wants us together tonight to allow us to speak into our experience, to learn that God has wiped away the deficit caused by our sin, to learn that He's filled up our account with the best things, of the good things, of the crown jewels of the grace that is ours in Jesus. And so that in grasping that, we will be complete in Him. And we will begin to soar like the eagle, to be renewed with that kind of energy, with thoughts in what God has done instead of in what I haven't done. And the more our thoughts are in what God has done, soaring at that level of Christian experience, the more we will be energized to do the very things that we have left undone. And it's that powerful energizing of my experience and of my heart to bring me the enjoyment of God's forgiveness and grace, to give me energy and joy in living for Him and in serving Him. The reversal. How much do we know of forgiveness? How much do we know of its power? How much do we know of that transformation? And how much do we need to remind our inner hearts tonight that this is what God has given to us, and this is what we are, and instead of finding fault with the way that we are, to rejoice because of the way God has made us. The reversal. Secondly, there flows from that the reassurance. And as we come down to verse 10 and these group, that group of verses, we are coming to see now the way in which the psalmist moves from talking to himself and the way in which he goes to reassure the community of the people of God around him. The reassurance. And is that not exactly what we so often need? These are the truths. That's the nature. That's the power. What about our reassurance? And the psalmist gives reassurance in two ways that we can notice. He does it in many other ways. But he has not dealt with according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He doesn't give us what we deserve. In other words, our judgment is over. But there are two things with regard to our forgiveness that gives us reassurance in these words. And the first of all of these is the character of the forgiveness itself. And what is the character or nature of forgiveness? As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. How high is the heavens above the earth? It was in the days of the psalmist immeasurable. And we can try and estimate the height of the heavens above the earth, but in the days of the psalmist it was immeasurable. And he wants to reassure the community of the people around him that so is the steadfast love, the mercy toward them that fear Him. The steadfast love. It keeps going back to the steadfast love. This commitment of God to His people. And so often, our concern is over the lack of our own commitment to Him. And because of our lack of commitment to him, we begin to question his commitment to us. That God cannot be pleased with me because of this, or because of that, or because of the next thing. And our own failings that raise up questions in our minds with regard to the character of the forgiveness that God has given to us when he has surrounded us with a steadfast love. And God tonight wants to remind us that the steadfast love of the Lord is immeasurably high above what we can imagine, what we can begin to think. And it's immeasurably high in such a way that it gulps up my lack of commitment. It overcomes all of my failings. It swallows up the very things that spoil my experience of the life of faith. It gulps that up and replaces it with a sense of the greatness of God. The character of the forgiveness. How big is my sin? How big is my failing? God's steadfast love is much bigger than that. And so it drowns out the voice of my feelings. And it lifts me to think of the greatness of the forgiveness that God has given to me. The character of the forgiveness. And so often I spend my life and I can't get my sin as far as the window or the door. I can't get it out of my mind. And it robs me of the peace of my forgiveness. And tonight God wants me to listen to the character of his forgiveness. And he wants to remind me that this is how far he has taken my sin from me. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? It's infinite. Cannot be measured. And as far as east is distant from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. That's so far. He has removed, he has taken it, and put it far away. He has cast it out of his sight so that he doesn't remember it anymore. And he wants me to recognize that in that same way, I should not remember it anymore because he has taken it away. And there's that great image in the Old Testament in that the day of forgiveness, the day of atonement, Leviticus 16. And here was this live goat. And it was before the congregation of the people. And Aaron came and he placed his hands upon the head of this live goat. And he confessed all of the sins of the people. And then a person came and took that live goat and took him far away and went over the crevice of the rock, never to be seen again, disappeared, never to come back to touch these people. How powerfully illustrative is that? We look at our forgiveness and the forgiveness of our sin, at the same time our sin is in our heads, and our sin is in our hearts, and we cannot separate ourselves from it. God is saying we're missing the point. We're missing the point of our forgiveness, that God has cast our sins behind his back. Don't you want to believe that? He has cast our sins, his Micah, into the sea, into the depths of the sea. And I was reminded recently by a 93-year-old Christian on the other side of the island of the way in which the older generation used to speak, yes, and there's a sign over the sea, no fishing here. And how often we go to that very place in our minds, and we go and we revisit the sins that God has wiped out and that he's forgiven and that he's forgotten, and we just will not leave them alone. And we raise them up and we fish them into our minds, and there they are, robbing us of our peace. But God is saying to us, that's not the kind of forgiveness I've given you. I've forgotten them. I will remember them no more. And so you remember me and not them. and remember the character of my forgiveness, and then you'll know my peace. The character of the forgiveness, the reassurance, and also the reassurance from the character of God. What is the reassurance from the character of God? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. This is my Father's work. The Father who is moved in his heart for the sake of his children. The Father who pities his children, who shows them the compassion, that motherly kind of love that she shows for the child of her womb. God, in this fatherly role, has that motherly kind of love with which he loves his children. And I mentioned earlier that the way in which the forgiveness was a family transaction. And here we come to the very heart from which the transaction itself flows. The children, the father who pities his children. The father who has the tears in his eyes because of the way in which sin has spoiled the life of the children. I'm speaking with reverence, of course. But there is that heartfelt movement that goes out to you. And this is not a legal transaction in a court of law where the judgment is made that this is cancelled out. That is certainly part of the teaching of the Bible. But it's something that should bring us back to the very movement of the heart of God to give us peace with him, to give us joy in him, to enable us to understand the grace of forgiveness and the benefits of it. He remembers we are dust. You're ashamed that you sin against God. God knows that. He knows the kind of person you are. But because of his fatherly heart, because of his character as the one who forgives, that's not going to stand in his way. That's part of what makes him move to help you, because he wants to wipe them away. And shouldn't we be reassured tonight from the word of God that the big things that we think stand in our way at the very places where the big love of God and the big heart of God is to be enjoyed by us most. And so he wants you in your heart tonight to recognize that, to know the reassurance that comes from his heart to yours, and let this wave of his emotions and of his love arrive gently on the shore of your heart, and it will make you feel satisfied. It will make you feel full and complete. It will make you feel loved, and it will make you feel free. And then you will begin to soar like the child of God that you are. The reassurance of forgiveness. And just in closing, there is the response. And that's how the psalm begins. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Speak to yourself tonight, and speak to yourself the words of God. And in doing so, bless the Lord. And the blessing of God himself is what he does to empower us, to enable us, to bless us in such a way that we can do what he gives to us. And only God can do that. We cannot do that to God. But when we bless God, It is the response of our heart to Him. And that's what happens in our forgiveness. He has blessed us. Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven. He has blessed us. He has empowered us within in such a way that we know we have peace with Him. We are the children of God. And there we need to respond. To say to your soul, bless the Lord. And to say to your soul, do not forget all His benefits. And I know that you will forget. Because I know that I will forget myself. And I know that I need to hear every day of my life. I need to hear that here is the response to the forgiveness of God. Do not forget His benefits. And when I don't forget, I remember. And when God remembers, it's a process through which His thought process leads to action. It always results in action. And so when I remember, instead of forgetting, when I remember His benefits, then I'm spurred to action. And that's what God requires of us. That's what He wants to see in our lives. Action for Him. First of all, in here, where I'm speaking to myself and I'm speaking to God. And in that conversation, I find joy and energy and strength. And then I'm ready to speak to others about what God has done for me. And so tonight, speak to your own heart and remind yourself of what God's forgiveness is like and what flows out from it and after it. Be reassured in the steadfast love of God that it will never fail. It's higher than you can begin to imagine. Remember that God has distanced Himself from your sins. And go and have joy and be satisfied. And go and serve and go and worship and go and bless God. Because that's where God is honored. And may God help us to understand something of that and to have that inner peace and inner energy through which we can follow Him. May God bless His word to us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we worship Your name. We give thanks to You for the way in which You have secured peace between Yourself and us. And we pray that You will help us to appreciate the very special way in which You have done that and the security offered, the unchangeableness offered, and the great love that works behind it and with it and around it. And bless our pure hearts tonight with a sense of Your great power, that we may have joy in You, have satisfaction in all that You have done, and find that energy through which we will go forward in life, seeking to honour You and to serve You every day that we live. Bless Your word and accept us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.